Thanks so much. It's wonderful to be here. Gosh, there's so many people to say hello to now. I can't just say hi, church. I have to say hi, those of you in the room. Hi, those of you on the lawn. Hi, those of you at Southeast who are at home. And hi, those of you online. Isn't that amazing how much God is doing and how far spread we now? Oh, and I even have to say hi, Brighton, but they're doing their own service today. But wow, we have just expanded so much and it's so cool to be part of such an amazing church. And I'm just really glad right now to be back in Australia. So I've just spent a month away in the UK. It's nearly exactly a year since my dad died and I haven't been able to get back over there until Christmas. And I've been able to spend a month with my mum, which has just been so precious. It's just been so wonderful to be with family and to, you know, be able to just sit with mum and do nothing, actually. But you know what? I'm glad to be back here. How nice is the Australian summer? I got up every morning in the UK at 7:30 and went for a walk in the dark. And I walked a long time in the dark. And then I'd sit around with mum for a bit, and it was sunny for a bit, and then it was dark. And it was just dark all the time. So it's really good to be back here in Australia, and I'm really enjoying it. And you know that I've been in the UK because I've come back whinging and talking about the weather. So today we're finishing the series on life-changing scriptures. What a good series it's been. It's been so good that, you know, we're online. So even while I've been in the UK, I've listened to every message and it has been a brilliant series. I've loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it's so amazing that we can see that scripture, wherever it comes from in the Bible, can be life-changing. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is a scripture that's really been life-changing for me over and over again, because I'm a really, really slow learner. So I have to have scripture speak to me again and again, often about the same things. And I want to look at a scripture today that has spoken to me because I can come across as very confident. I can come across as somebody who knows exactly what they're doing, knows exactly what they want, knows exactly where they're going. But actually, deep down, and I think this is probably the same for most of us, deep down, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I'm qualified. I'm not sure I have the skills. For example, we've already spoken that this week has been my first week on staff as the Director of Ministries. But when the job came up, I didn't apply for it immediately. I was CEO at Crossway Life Care. I love everything that the staff do there to help people in tough places flourish. They are amazing people and they're doing amazing things. And I didn't think I was going to leave. And I really did not think that I was going to be qualified or the right person to do this role. I wasn't good enough for that. Why would I put my hand in the ring for that one? No way. That was my first thought. And it's not just about work. So it's not just about when you're going for a job. It's about what I want to do for the kingdom of God, the impact that I want to have, or where I'm going to serve in the church. Can I do that? Am I qualified? Am I good enough? Am I the right person? And it was just so cool to listen to Brendan just then talking about the call on his life. You can even be really sure of the call on your life, but have doubts that you can do it. And so that's the scripture that I want to talk about today, is one that reminds me that I am good enough with God. So we're going to look at a passage which tells the story of a woman in the Old Testament who won a battle, and she had a massive impact. Now, in the Old Testament, winning a battle was winning for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God expanded through war, through battles. And I do want to give a trigger warning because this passage is violent and a bit gruesome. So if you are likely to be triggered by that, then you can stop watching, stop listening. I give you permission. And if you've got children who might be worried by that, you might want to do that with them too. But before I do that, I'm going to give you an overview of what happened before. But let's just pray, first of all, before we open the word. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for your presence today. Whether we are gathered together with other people or whether we're on our own and watching online, Lord, we know that you are with us. And so we ask, Lord, that your life-changing scripture would speak to us today. We thank you, God, that your word never goes back to you empty. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you in advance that you're going to work in people's hearts. And we just ask that we can be open to hear your word today. In your name, amen. Okay, so what's happening in this passage is there's a guy called Barak. Now, excuse me if I get any of these pronunciations of names wrong. I don't care. He was leading an army for the Israelites. And they were going up against the Canaanites. And the Canaanites were led by a guy called Sisera. And Deborah, the prophet, calls Barak and says, I've got a prophecy for you. And she says, you are going to win this battle. And Barak's really excited because he's not gone to battle yet, but he knows he's going to win. And it's always really good when you know the outcome. And so he's like, yay, come with us, Deborah. And she says, no. And because you asked me, you are not going to kill Sisera. A woman is going to kill Sisera. So they go off to battle. God does his thing because Deborah was a prophet and she knew what was going to happen. God does his thing and Sisera's army is completely scattered. And so that's where we're going to pick up the story in Judges 4, verses 17 to 22. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come, my lord, come right in, don't be afraid. So he entered her tent and she covered him with a blanket. I'm thirsty, he said, please give me some water. She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. Stand in the doorway of the tent, he told her, and if someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer, and she went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, I'll show you the man you're looking for. So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. So sorry, it is a bit gruesome. It's pretty gruesome, actually, but it's pretty darn awesome, isn't it? Fantastic story. And I love this story because it's about a woman, and I'm a woman, and I love the fact that God works through women. But that's not the only reason I love this story. I think there's other things that we can learn. So what are they? Well, the first thing is that Jael chose to align with God. And if we want to have an impact in the kingdom of God, we've got to make that decision and we've got to choose to align with God. She had ties to the Israelites through her husband. Actually, in fact, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, was one of her relatives. But her husband was also on good terms with the Canaanites. So she could go either way in this battle. And Sisera went to her tent, obviously thinking that she would help him. And that's why he went there. But letting him into her tent was a massive, massive risk. She could have been scared that he could have done anything to her. And he was a man coming into a woman's tent. So choosing what side to be on had massive consequences for Jael. But she chose to align herself with God's people. She was choosing between the world or God's way. And that's what we have to do. And it's not always easy and it's not always comfortable. Every decision we make has consequences. And when we choose to align with the world, it has consequences. When we choose to align with God, it has consequences. Now, nowadays, of course, we're not fighting battles against other armies. So we align with God not by choosing which army to align with, but we align with God by choosing to align with the Holy Spirit. We have to fix our eyes on Him and focus on the plans and the dreams that he has for us, not our own hopes and aspirations. But we know that we can trust him and that he will do good things. It's really scary sometimes to align with God. I mean, like, it's pretty scary to put your name forward for a job. It's pretty scary for us when we decided to move to Melbourne. I remember my husband and I were driving along in New Zealand, and he turned to me, and just as you do, and said, we should move to Melbourne. And I turned to him and said, yes, we should. And then we looked at each other and said, oh my goodness, where the heck did that come from? And then we realized that the Holy Spirit was speaking to us. And so we decided we'd pray about it. And I had a vision from God. It was a brilliant vision, and it kept me going for so long because I knew we were aligning with the Holy Spirit. I had a vision that God had opened a door, and we were going to step through this door, but the light was so bright on the other side of the door that I had to wear sunglasses, and I couldn't see what was ahead. So we knew we had to align with God, but we had no idea what was going to happen. No idea at all, but we knew it was going to be good. And JL chose to trust God rather than to submit to fear. And God rewarded that faith with victory. And you know, you might be thinking about aligning with God or facing something that seems massive and insurmountable right now. Or you might think it's scary to fulfill the call of God on your life or to take on the Great Commission. But you can count on these things, that God knows you and that he loves you and that he's on your side. You can trust in his goodness. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and took away all of the bad things that we'd done, that wasn't the end. But we now know the end. And the end is that he conquered death. The end is that he had victory. And when we align with God, we're already on the side of victory. There's nothing to be afraid of. The second thing that we can learn from this passage is that God doesn't only use warriors to win battles. JL was not a warrior. I doubt very much that she'd ever held a sword or a spear or whatever else it was that they fought with in those days. She was a tent dweller. She would move around with her tribe to find work as they needed to. She was probably on the edge of a battlefield because perhaps the tribe did something with the weapons. Perhaps they mended them, or perhaps they provided food. I've no idea. But she would move around nomadic style with her tent, and she would pitch her tent regularly. She knew how to take it down, but she also knew how to put it up. She knew how to bang a tent peg into the ground. But she wasn't a warrior. And I think it's really easy for us to find excuses. We can say things like, I'm not qualified. I'm not a pastor. I can't play the piano. Have you heard me sing? Actually, really, have you heard me sing? Not good, not good. You could say, I don't have the skills. I'm not trained. I don't have the right personality. That's not me. Or I don't have the platform or influence to make that difference or to do that thing. Somebody else would be much better at that than me. I'm not good enough. But that's not what JL did. She came into an extreme situation and didn't wait for somebody else to come and rescue her. She did what she had to do, and she took hold of the opportunity that God had given her. God wants all of us to be involved in his plans, even if you're not a warrior, even if you're just an ordinary person like me, even if you're just a tent dweller. So how did she do it? Well, she used her wits and courage, but she also used what she knew. She knew how to hit that tent peg into the ground even if there was a head in the way. She knew what to do. And she used what she was used to using regularly. She used what was in her hands. So the third thing we can learn from this passage is, what have you got in your hands? What is it that God has already placed inside you? What skills has he already given you? What experience has he already given you? God said to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 4:2, "What's in your hands?" And he had a shepherd's staff in his hand, and he used it to become a snake and then back to a staff as a sign to Pharaoh. God uses what's in your hand, and he will take whatever is in your hands, even when it seems mundane, ordinary, not unusual, insignificant. He'll take it, and that common, ordinary, mundane thing, when anointed by God, becomes something mighty. We need to start where we're at with whatever it is that we have. Now, the main thing I've got is I talk a lot. If you ask my husband, he'll say that all I have in abundance is words. And my kids refuse to answer the phone to me. They'll text me because they have this secret chat going on about how do you get off the phone when mum calls. So I've used my words so often. Like, I've chat to my neighbours, and then I had my neighbour come round, and I was like, I'm going to invite her to Alpha. And she said to me, "Hey Fiona, what's a testimony?" And I was like, whoa, God's already prepared her. I said, "Why?" She said, "My brother's sharing his testimony." And I said, "Well, come to Alpha and you'll find out." It was really easy. And then on the Alpha course, which I've been involved in for a very long time, I've been able to speak into people's lives. Sometimes I haven't even known what I've said to them. A couple of years ago, when I just started at Lifecare, I met up for a coffee with a friend of mine, T, because T's in a similar industry. And T had come through Alpha here probably about maybe 15 years ago, maybe 14 years ago here at Crossway. And that's when she'd become given her life to God and become a Christian. And I was sitting talking to her, and I was saying, "How's life?" And she's going, "Well, you know, sometimes it's a bit hard, but I'm a victor, not a victim." And I said, "Wow, T, that's amazing. That's such good wisdom." And she said, "Yeah, you taught me that." I was like, "What? Wow, okay." I didn't even remember saying it. So things in your life that might seem boring, they might seem mundane, they might seem ordinary, like a tent peg, can be used by God. And you should never discount the experience God has graced you with, because he's already prepared you and he's already given you skills. When we first got to Melbourne, I used my words again. We did actually follow through on that vision. Obviously, we're here. We saw that light behind the door and we decided to go for it. And husband came first. He came to Crossway, tried a few other churches, and he just kept ending up back at Crossway. So he said, "Okay, we're going to end up at Crossway." So when I came, I landed on the Saturday, and I said to him, "I quite like the idea of going to Crossway, but it's a big church. So I don't know how quite I'll feel because we've come from a very small church." He said, "Don't worry." So landed on the Saturday. Sunday morning, I had a meeting with the executive pastor. And I said to the executive pastor, who was Mike Gretschko at the time, "Okay, how do I get involved? What do I do?" I think he must have thought I was the weirdest person in the whole wide world. But fast forward only a few months, Lindy Wilson, who happened to be running Alpha at the time, had a family crisis and stepped out of running Alpha. And Mike Gretschko said, "Oh, Fiona Hall, she knows how to run Alpha. I've been involved with Alpha over 17 years now at this church." Because God had already given me the skills before I got here. He'd already prepared me to be able to step into that ministry. So never discount the experience and the skills that God has already graced you with. What's in your hands? It could be whatever's in your care or control. It could be your money or your possessions. It could be your influence or your talent and abilities. We've all got God's word in our hands. And we've all got the weapon of prayer. We can pray for a nation. We can pray for a community. God will start with whatever's in your hands, even when it seems menial and insignificant, because the common becomes mighty when God anoints it. So this scripture, for me, is life-changing. But if I don't allow it to absorb into me, like Pastor Sam was telling us last week, if I don't allow it to change not just the way I think, but the way I act, the very marrow of my bones, then I can be paralyzed and I can just not take that first step forward for the kingdom of God. I can not take that step towards my call in life because I can feel like I'm not good enough. But when I do allow it to change me, when I do allow it to change my attitude, and when I align myself with God, He can use ordinary old me, and He can use the skills and abilities and the things that are in my hands that He's already put there, whatever I offer to Him, because me and God together is enough. So in 2022, what's God calling you to? Where do you need to align with God? What do you have in your hands that He's asking you to use for His glory and His kingdom? Do you need reminding that you and God together are enough? Shall we pray? Father God, we just thank You so much that You know each of us and You love us. That, Lord, as we've already heard from Brendan and we've sung, that You have plans and purposes and a hope for our future. Lord, we want to align with You. We want to choose right now, once more, for 2022, that we're going to be on Your side, that we're going to follow You, that we're going to follow the prompting of Your Holy Spirit, and that we're going to go where it is that You call us. Lord, we thank You that You are the one to be trusted. We thank You that we know we can do it with You. Lord, help us to see the opportunities to use what it is that we have already in our hands, the things that You've already given us. Lord, we just want to offer that to You right now. Take it, Lord, and turn it into something mighty for Your kingdom, for Your glory. And Lord, right now, I pray that Holy Spirit, that You would pour the love of God into our hearts and that You would remind us that, Lord, with You, it's enough.